Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict's Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about Fear the Walking Dead, Season 2, Episode 4, entitled Blood in the Street. It's written by Kate Erickson, who has worked on Mr. Robot and Cooper. So she didn't have a big resume, but she did an excellent job. And it was directed by Michael Uppendahl, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, who has worked on Daredevil, American Horror Story, Fargo, the TV show, and Mad Men.
Wow, that's a good resume.
Very good resume.
Some of my favorite shows.
Fargo, Mad Men, American Horror Story, I don't really watch because I'm scared of stuff like that. But
we got into the first season.
Yeah. And then Daredevil is just amazing.
Yes, it is.
And then we had a celebrity guest this week on the show, which was Jesse McCartney, who played Reed. That was the bad guy that was calling all the shots this week.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this guy before?
Yes.
Never heard of him, ever.
Really?
Yeah, and then I keep seeing all these tweets about him, so I was like, let me look him up. And he was like a pop star. I mean, I don't know if he still is, but I pulled up one of his songs. I was like, oh, okay, that song, you know how you hear a song, but you just don't know who sings it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I remember hearing that song years ago. So one of his famous songs is called Beautiful Soul. You know, I'm guessing I'm probably not in that age range of where his fans were.
He's a pretty good actor, though.
Yeah, did a very good job. Yeah. Very good job. He was scary. Not scary to me, but it was scary enough to where I can imagine that they would be scared.
Right.
So before we get into our recap and everything, Gary, what did you think overall?
I thought the show was great. This is the best one yet. I enjoyed it all the way through. You know, last night was our Game of Thrones night, so that's what we chose to watch. And when we got on Twitter, everything, Facebook, not only did we see a lot of stuff about Game of Thrones, but it's the first time we saw Fear trending also. So, you know, it was amazing. You know, I kind of figured it was a great show. I mean, I wasn't disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, Fear is always trending, but since Game of Thrones came back on, it goes lower and lower on that list.
Right.
So I did see it, and I think we heard someone mention that it was Strand's backstory. So right. I, like, completely stayed away from that trending topic because I didn't want to get any spoilers.
Yeah.
But we watched the episode twice today in one day, and this was the first time I will say I did not mind watching it a second time, even watching it two times in one day.
Yeah.
I didn't mind. Actually, as soon as it came on, I was like, oh, my gosh, like, is this the right show? Like, did I change, you know, did I put on the right one? I was kind of confused. Like, is that Nick? But I thought it was an amazing episode. They did a really good job. It is my favorite so far.
You know, we were told by the director, I think I seen the interview when he said we weren't going to get any flashbacks. It was kind of cool to see that.
Okay. Like the creator of the show said no flashbacks.
Yeah.
Okay.
They said we weren't going to really get any flashbacks.
Well, yeah, I love flashbacks. That was my favorite part.
You wouldn't think they would have flashbacks because, I mean, this is supposed to be the beginning.
Right.
It was surprising. It was a good surprise.
Yeah, it was definitely a good surprise. All right, so the way the podcast works is we discuss our likes, our dislikes, any listener letters, and then we have an award and a prediction at the end. We did have a lot of likes and hardly any dislikes this week, so yeah. I'm very happy for that.
Yeah, this was a love episode.
Yes, very, very good episode. Positive feedback here. All right, the opening scene we just kind of discussed with Nick getting out of the water. We were confused, but at the same time, we were very interested in what was Nick doing in the water? How did he get there? Why was he by himself?
And there was a lot of speculation. Like I yelled out to Nicole, I said, he must be dreaming.
Yeah, you're like, he's dreaming. And then we saw like the tents and the thing saying, save me. So we knew, because I was like, oh, this is before, I thought that was a flashback. Remember, I was like, oh, this is before zombie apocalypse. And then Gary's like, no, it's not. And then within seconds, we see the tents. And
yeah, because so, it could be before. Because remember, he started it. He was like one of the first people to see it in the fear in the show.
No, but I thought this was like one of his crazy drug binges and he somehow ended up in the ocean. Like, that's what I thought when showed him in the ocean. That's, I was like, oh, I don't know. Somehow he was partying and he ended up there. Like, that was my thought.
Partied too hard.
Yeah, he partied too hard. But I really enjoyed that scene, seeing them, the tent, and then how he killed that zombie. And it's like, he only has to do something once. He's using it every episode now, putting the zombie blood on him.
Yeah.
you know, in The Walking Dead, we talk about how they don't use that enough. Like, they use it once every other season.
Yeah, and you would think they walk around like that.
Yeah, just look at Nick. He was very comfortable in the blood.
Yeah.
And then we finally, get to meet Alicia's little friend that she was talking to on the radio.
Which is about time.
And we discussed when that episode happened, was he going to be a friend or foe? And he is, I mean, he doesn't seem evil unless he's playing, unless he's double playing her. But the people, I mean, obviously he came there with bad intentions.
Right. Right. I don't get what you mean by he doesn't seem evil.
I mean, he was being so nice. He's like, well, I'll take you, you know, I'll take you back, or I won't let anyone hurt you. I mean, he still could have been playing her, but he doesn't seem like the bad guy. Like Reed, Jesse McCartney character, seems like the bad guy.
Yeah, I definitely agree that Reed's the bad guy. He's scary. But Jack is the one who led them there. Jack is the one who lied to Alicia.
Manipulated the situation.
Right. He knew what he was doing.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that we finally got to meet him. That was just crazy that how they just got up on the boat. I was like, wait a minute. Like, what is going on? Like, at the same time, I didn't know they were evil because I believed that girl was hurt. But then I also said, I don't know. This just seems like too, like, who gets on somebody's boat like that? Just boom,
yeah, I didn't
bam.
Believe it for 1 minute.
Oh, you didn't?
No, because they came straight for the boat.
Okay. I mean, well, if you were hurt and you saw a boat, who would not come straight for the boat?
At a time like this, I wouldn't. I mean, we already see how dangerous the seas are. We see an airplane crash in the water. There's a boat that was on fire earlier. I'm pretty sure that they didn't get there and not see anything. They know how dangerous it is.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so the flashbacks, as we were talking about, they were really big for us this week. We really enjoyed them. Everything here from these likes are just regarding all the stuff that we liked in the flashbacks. I figure we can just put all those together. We find out Strand meets his friend, or we'll discuss that a little further, Thomas Abigail, in 2005. Because on the news, we see that Hurricane Katrina just happened. And Strand's like, damn, I just bought all this property.
Yeah, he just lost everything.
And I just lost everything. So I liked it because we got to see a little timeline of, you know, some a backstory of Strand.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like a week before the apocalypse. This is years before the apocalypse. And then not only that, we also get to see what he did for a living. Sort of, kind of.
Which we already knew.
And we knew he was in real estate, but can we just honestly say only real estate? Because he's also kind of like a thief.
He's a thief. But I think he was legit, probably until...
Until then? You think he stole, like, that's his first time stealing?
I'm pretty sure it's not his first time. He was pretty comfortable with
it. Yeah.
I would think this was his first big thing stealing. I mean, he just lost everything.
Yeah, definitely wasn't his first time, though. I mean, he took all the guy's credit cards.
Yeah.
And then how do you steal credit cards, though? I mean, I know he said he got cash advances, but wouldn't he have to have the PIN number to get the cash advance?
I would think so.
Okay.
So maybe you're right. Maybe he was a con artist.
Yeah, he's like a for real con artist.
Yeah.
Which makes me question, I mean, not that it's important, but since it was cleared up this week, we kind of discussed Strand's sexuality in season one. Because he had those cufflinks and it said, with love. And I don't know if it said Thomas or whatever, but it did say, like, it could have been a male's name. And we kind of questioned then, was he gay?
Well, I think somebody wrote into us and they brought that up. They said, well, could that be a man's name on his cufflinks? And remember what he went through to get it back.
Okay, so there was speculation from a writer, someone that wrote in saying that, hey, that was a man's name on the cufflinks. Could he be possibly in a homosexual relationship?
Right.
Now that we see him and he's kissing Thomas and stuff like that, it's still not 100% that he's like full on gay, because I think he's just a con artist. And I think if that's the job and Thomas is the job, and whether it's a long con, like, that's just the job.
Man, are you kidding me?
Yeah. because he also admired Doug. Remember Doug, the neighbor, when he freaked out the neighbor back in season one?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, your wife, she's going to be lonely with that hot bod. I mean, just because he complimented on her bod doesn't mean that he's straight. But I'm just saying, I'm not the only one that still doubts it. Like, other people I saw on Twitter were saying, like, is he gay or is this still just, like, a long con?
That sounds like a woman thing.
What do you mean?
Women just don't want to accept the fact that when a man is gay.
No!
They just don't want to. The thing is, this guy is really in love with whoever this guy Thomas is. I mean, look how what he's going through to get back to him. Look what he went through to get his cufflinks back. And he took a special liking to Nick.
Honestly, like, part of me feels that he left Thomas and I don't think he was going to come back. Like, he said 2 days that he was going to come back, but I think he was not going to come back. And then with the zombie apocalypse happening, it was like, oh, shit, I got to go back to my, you know, to that person I need. I don't know. Maybe I'll probably get proven wrong, but my gut feeling doesn't feel love. I just felt convenience. Like, it seemed like Thomas was in love with him, but it didn't seem like he was in love with Thomas.
I don't know. I think that's, like, going a little too far for a con.
Okay.
I mean, like, changing your sexuality and everything. I mean, maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
I think of, well, not to bring up Lost, but Sawyer, like, he ran a long, like, he kind of reminds me of Sawyer from Lost. And remember, Sawyer had that long con with the girlfriend, and she thought she was in on the con, and then really, she really was the con. Do you remember that from his backstory?
Yeah, but that was a girlfriend.
Okay, I don't know.
So just, it's kind of not, it's not the same thing.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying that anything's wrong with what he's doing and his sexuality. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that I don't think that if he was a straight man, that would be the con.
All right. I mean, it's possible it could be love, but for something tells me it's not as simple as we saw it.
And if it wasn't love, I mean, why not let the officer have the cufflinks? One of the military guards?
Yeah, that's true, too. That is a good point. Unless, I mean, this is weird, too. But remember, right now, the guy, Luis, I think his name is?
Yeah.
He said, we can't cross without Strand. So does that mean Strand, maybe those cufflinks are the only one thing that's going to let them back in? Like, because he said, we can't go without Strand. Like, he made it sound like it was impossible.
It probably is, because Strand is the guy's boyfriend. They're a couple.
Okay.
So that probably, like, don't come back without Strand. I'm pretty sure it don't matter if Strand come back with the cufflinks, the suit clothes. It doesn't matter how he come back. He just want him back.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe I just don't trust Strand anymore, so everything I think is a lie.
Another thing is, I guess when Strand was sitting there, they were looking at the mountains. They probably were in Mexico, where they were looking at the desert and everything.
Yeah.
So the guy probably don't want a lot of people, because remember he said that when I'm here, it makes me feel like, you know, we're isolated from the rest of the world. Like, this is normal, and the rest of the world's not. He said something on those, on that line.
Right.
So he probably don't want just anybody coming on his island. Because that's probably his own little personal island, or own personal piece of the pie, his own land.
All right, well, we'll find out. All right, so I put this on our list of likes, but it's not necessarily a like, but it's a question. Like, was Strand abandoning them when he left the ship, or was he going to get help? Like, what do you think he was doing?
I think Strand was out.
Okay. I know they're like, he abandoned nobody. I was like, I don't know if he abandoned. I mean, maybe I just don't. I give people the benefit of the doubt, or I don't in some cases.
Strand grabbed everything he needed. He's gone.
Okay. Yeah, because he did have his little phone, his satellite phone.
Yeah. He wasn't coming back. He wasn't going to get no help. Strand was on his way to Mexico.
All right. He was going to meet Nick and Luis halfway to their little boat or whatever.
Right, but the funny part about it is that how did Strand sneak past them and sneak on their boat?
I don't know. Well, maybe when they were so busy getting everybody, you know, pushing everybody down, tying them up, he snuck off.
Because Strand was upstairs, they were all downstairs. It seems like the only way to the level that the boat was on was going past them. But it could have been more than one way.
Yeah. I didn't have a problem with that. I think there could be more. I know
they looked down and said, where's our boat at?
Oh, okay. I thought they just heard the boat and was like, who the hell's out there? Or whatever. I don't know.
No, he actually stole their boat.
Yeah, no. I thought they heard it, and that's when they realized it was gone. All right, so I know we blamed Alicia back when she was talking to Jack and everything like that, and we've been kind of worried. But I think Alicia stood up this week. I think she kind of redeemed herself. Because when all this is going on, she's like, you know what? I brought this on us. I'm going to make it better. And I just like hearing her say that, because she's kind of getting out of that little girl mind frame, and she's realizing that, like, shit's real out here right now.
Yeah, you're right, but I can't give her that much credit.
Why not?
Because, like you said, she is the reason.
I mean, you can't fully blame her. Like, that's like blaming the victim. Ultimately, Jack came on there. Reed came on there. That girl came on there. We can't blame Alicia for being the victim.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like she told them a lot.
Yeah, like how they knew everyone's name. I don't think Alicia told them. Alicia looked. She's like, no, I didn't tell them all that.
I don't know if I believe her. Because she didn't tell them about Jack in the first place.
Yeah, but she did tell. She eventually told them about Jack. And remember, she told him that she told her family already, I didn't tell them anything important. Or she told Strand that, like, I didn't tell them anything important. How they know everyone's name, that's to be determined. We'll find out. Maybe she left the radio on, and I don't know. No, I don't know how they know everyone's name. But I don't think she lied when she said she did not tell them.
See, we're going to have to agree to disagree on that, because I think she did.
Someone on Twitter wrote that, what if it was Alex, the lady that they cut her cord the other day?
But I don't think Alex been there long enough to know everyone's name.
Yeah, she was only there for like 5 seconds.
I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm just saying I don't think so. Unless they may have killed Alex.
Yeah.
Or Alex is the reason she had the cut leg. She probably got in a fight. They took her raft.
Okay.
Because is that the same raft that Alex and her, was it a friend?
Yeah.
Well, was that the same raft they were in?
I don't know. I don't know the details of her raft that well to identify it. But Alex seems strong to me, so I don't think we saw the last of Alex. I don't think they did that whole scene of her on the airplane and then her getting kicked, you know, cutting her cord. I don't think that's the last we'll see her. Like, she'll probably make it into Mexico with him somehow, if they even make it to Mexico.
Yeah.
All right, next on our list of likes, Travis holding the weapon in his sleeve. I liked it. It kind of reminded me of Carol on The Walking Dead when she had that gun in her sleeve. I think either not the season finale or the one before.
It is cool that Travis stepping up. It seems like he's thinking real quick on his feet now.
Right, because I think that's why he went down to the engine room.
This ain't Travis that we known. You know, Travis real timid, going along with everything. And now he's strong now. Much stronger.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because we don't have it on our list. But when the show first started and they were talking about how Strand cut the cord and everything like that, Travis is like, man, I'm about to throw him overboard. Yeah. I'm like, Travis? Talking about he about to throw him overboard? Like, this is not your ship to be throwing somebody overboard. But, you know, I think he was pretty serious. He was going to throw Strand overboard.
He seriously thought about it.
Alicia asking Jack how many people came before and how many are still alive. Like, that was her way of saying, how many times have you done this before?
And that was a good question.
I know Alicia hugged him and made it seem like, oh, she trusts him. She doesn't trust him.
Well, she told her mother she trusted him.
She's just she's playing the con. She's playing a con, too. Alicia's learned. She's a smart girl. It's just, yes, she messed up once. But at this point, she definitely doesn't trust him. She's playing the con. She wanted to keep her mom safe, so she said what she had to say to keep her mom calm. But she definitely has some trick up her sleeve.
But speaking of Alicia, wasn't it funny that Reed said, he asked Chris, how long you been sleeping with your sister? Or that chick?
No, well, he's
what's that about?
Your girlfriend or whatever. And he's like, you know, he said something, and then Chris was like, that's my sister. And he's like, that's sick. How long have you been sleeping with your sister?
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of funny. They're not sleeping together. But he obviously, or he feels that Chris has a crush on Alicia. But it's possible that Chris has a crush on Ophelia. And maybe he does think of Alicia as just a sister type.
Maybe. Or maybe the same reason that Reed knew everybody's name is the same reason he know that they're sleeping together.
They're not sleeping together.
They have a spy on the boat.
Oh, now that would be good. But who could be there? There's no one there that could spy on them. That's a good one. But there's no one there. Okay, so I'm a little bit slow. But when Nick finally gets to where he's going, and it shows the guy comes behind him with the gun, he's like, turn around or whatever. And when it first showed him, I was like, that's Thomas's friend. Like, it still didn't hit me that Nick was going there with a purpose. Like,
finding him. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I thought Nick was just going, like, trying to find drugs. I don't know. I never thought that Strand, excuse me, had sent Nick out, like, on a mission. So when that guy came, I was, like, surprised. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is too coincidental that he, out of all people, is there.
Yeah.
But it was cool seeing him because in the backstory or the flashbacks, I didn't really care. I mean, we only saw him that one time real quickly, whereas now we get to see more of his personality. He cares about cars.
Yeah.
He cares about this new life. And I kind of like this guy.
Yeah, he's cool. In the backstory, he seemed like kind of like a flunky. Like he was just the guy, I guess, security.
Right.
You know, his right-hand man or something. I don't know. But now, you know, it's hard to determine what kind of relationship they have. Because if he was there before Strand, why can't he go back to Mexico without him?
That is true. And now that he said his mom raised him and Thomas. Like, although his mom, remember he said, my mom worked for his dad and then it worked for him. So, like, you know, the mom's like their maid, Thomas's maid.
Okay.
But she ultimately pretty much raised him. So they grew up together. So it does seem weird that he can't just pop up there on his own because they should be like brothers at this point with each other.
Yeah, they should be.
And I thought it was funny when he was like, what do you mean by all of us to Nick?
Yeah.
Like, no. Like, I planned on two people, which shows that Strand wasn't going to abandon all of them. He was going to abandon everybody but Nick.
Yeah.
And maybe he was going to, I don't know how he was going to convince Nick, but there was probably going to be some way where he would make himself separate from the rest of the family and be like, sorry, this is the only way.
Maybe. Or he just did the best way he could. He planned on just creeping off like that anyway.
Yeah, maybe he was going to creep off anyways and meet Nick halfway through and say, hey, yeah, Someone overtook the boat, you know, let's go. And then our final list of likes is Madison saving Strand at the end. She didn't have to, and I kind of like that.
I think Madison have a thing for Strand.
Madison definitely wants it. Like, when Travis was talking about throwing Strand over, she's like, well, let's not do that. like, I promise you, and which tells me if she has a thing for Strand, is it possible Strand's not gay? Or who knows what his sexual preference is?
Yeah, maybe he don't have one.
Yeah. He's like Oberyn, you know? He loves everybody. Oberyn Martell, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, okay. I know what you're talking about.
But yeah, I like that she saved him only because I want to see what he has to say for himself next week. Like, how do you explain that?
I was coming to look for you.
Yeah, I was going to get help. Like, dude, there's no way around it. Your friend already told everybody that you never planned on taking anybody else with you. Like, I just can't wait to see what he has to say.
So I guess Strand never once mentioned him in his little walkie-talkie conversation.
Right.
It's crazy. When they showed the flashback, they didn't show Strand as being crazy or Strand talking to himself. Basically just a person that just lost everything and just had to hit that last con to get back on his feet. But now, you know, they show him like last week or the week before last, and he's on a boat talking to himself? Or is he talking to somebody?
Well, it's possible that one, Strand didn't lose anything during Hurricane Katrina. He might have actually went and sought after Thomas. Knew what Thomas did. Figured he would sit there, start a conversation. I mean, like, this could be a serious long con. Like, him meeting Thomas was no accident. It could have been all part of his plan. Second, him talking to himself, I don't really think that as a big deal, maybe because I talk to myself occasionally, so I don't really see that as a big deal. Like, I think if he was talking to himself, he was talking to himself. If he was talking to someone, I'm guessing it was Luis or whatever.
But it's kind of like a big deal, because this guy wasn't sleeping or anything. I mean, we actually thought something was wrong with him.
I never thought anything was wrong with him.
Well, I guess I thought something was wrong with him.
I think he was talking to Luis, because didn't someone write in, or didn't someone accuse him of speaking Spanish? So it's possible he was just talking to Luis. Like, I think that mystery solved, if there was, in fact, a mystery there.
Okay.
You have any more likes?
I guess my last like is when Luis jumped into action. When he noticed that someone's on the boat, or Nick told him, like, hey, the people on the boat with the guns, they're none of my people.
I don't even know how I didn't have that written down. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Like, when he shot, like, Nick, he's like, take over. He shot the people without second thought. It does make me wonder, does he have some special training? How did he do that?
He has to,
right?
Yeah. Because it's not like he took multiple shots. He took two headshots.
Yeah, two headshots. Yeah, that was a good scene.
And after he did that, How did they get the upper hand on Reed?
Well, that brings us to our dislikes. And honestly, you guys, the first time I watched it, and I took notes the first time because I didn't think I was going to watch it a second time, and I had zero dislikes. Then we watched it a second time, and I was like, Gary, we don't have any dislikes. And then that's when he's like, how did Reed and them get the upper hand on everybody on the boat? Like, there was only three people that came on that boat, and there's like seven of them.
Right. That was a dislike of mine. But I'm saying that, how did they get the upper hand on Reed? Like, did, who took the gun from Reed, and how did...
Oh, yeah. Okay, so before we get into the dislike of how Reed and them got the upper hand originally, how did Travis and them get the upper hand back?
Right.
All right, Travis, from what it looked like, I tried to watch it carefully second time. It looked like Travis took the gun from Reed.
Well, not Travis. Travis already
gone. Sorry, not Travis. Daniel took the gun from Reed, and at that same time, Ophelia stabbed him. And then Madison, it was like a team effort. Like,
right.
Like, Daniel took the gun, Ophelia stabbed him, Travis pushed him, and then, no, Madison pushed him, and then Chris, like, shoved it the rest of the way and was, like, trying to finish him. Like, Chris is badass, really badass right now.
Well, they did just take his girlfriend.
That's true. His sister / girlfriend. I thought them doing that was very good teamwork, because then even shows, like, Daniel passing the gun off to Madison. Like, none of them missed a beat. And now they're starting to become that group that we want to see them. We want to see them be. Like, we want to stop seeing them as Madison's family, Daniel's family, Travis is part of his family, and then Strand. Like, we want to see them work together and depend on each other.
Right.
Because that's going to make for a better show. And seeing them overtake these people, it now became a us versus them.
Right. And I'm so glad we have a villain now.
Yes, Reed and Connor.
Well, Reed's dead.
Is Reed dead? Okay, I saw someone writing in. I don't know if Reed is showing up on the previews for next week, because someone was like,
you know what? He is. Okay. I was wrong. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, because I saw someone on Twitter was like, hold on, how's he still alive? And I was like,
you know, like they would lock him in a cell or something.
Okay. Yeah. Or
tying him up. I don't know, because he said Connor's going to come back for me. So I'm looking at him, and he didn't like he was hurt at the preview.
Yeah, no, you're right. And then what happened to the pregnant girl?
She was the first one to get shot.
Oh, that I like that scene too. No, the pregnant. Oh, yeah. That's kind of sick. I didn't realize. No, that wasn't the pregnant girl that got shot.
It was.
It was the redhead girl that got on the boat with, that had got on the boat.
It was only three of them.
No, but this is after Connor and them came and took Travis and then two other people.
Oh, the pregnant girl left, right?
I don't know where that pregnant girl is, but the girl that got shot was like a redhead girl.
Okay, I thought it was a pregnant girl.
So I don't know where that pregnant girl is, but just thinking about her, I do have another, like, when Madison was taunting her, it was like, I wonder if that baby is going to turn inside you. I was like, that is cold-blooded. And then even Ophelia got involved. I was like, I loved it, but it was kind of, like, cold at the same time.
It was.
But that was a like.
It was. Until, you know, the hit. I didn't like any of the hits in the show.
All right, well, let's get to the dislikes.
Let me start it off with the hits.
Okay.
I mean, every time they hit some, I don't know whether it was a bad sound effect, but I could have swore they was hitting them with the gun. But when they turned around, there was no scar on their face, no nothing. Then Nicole said, well, maybe they smacked them. And I'm like, well, that's kind of a bad sound effect for that, because it sounded like metal hitting something.
It sounded pretty serious.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you that. I mean, it wasn't that big of a dislike. I guess some shit I just let slide.
Man, it was bugging the hell out of me.
Okay. I guess it kind of bugged me too, because every time when they slap
Chris.
They slap Chris, Madison. I know Madison, that was a hard hit. She took first attacked the girl when the girl first attacked her. Now, that, I guess if we think back to it, like, I don't know how easily you can just recover from that. Like, you just get up after that and, you know, because she brought Madison in. Like, it seems like I'd be in bed for days after a hit like that. You know, like, fuck, I'm fucked up. But Madison seemed okay. But those are, like, small things I guess I ignored. And I was like, oh, that episode's so good. I don't mind it.
I don't know. It just kept bugging me. Like, when he kept hitting Chris, and it just sounds so bad that Chris just turned around and look at him. I'm like, what the hell?
Right. I like hearing Chris call for his dad. He's like, Dad! Like, what is your dad gonna do? He got a gun to your face. He's like, Dad! That's so cold, but it was just funny at the same time. All right.
I feel bad for him.
All right, the other dislike, and this was Gary's dislike as well, but you wanted to know, how did three people come on board and get the drop on all of them?
Right. We see the pregnant girl is already in the bathroom with Maddie, but I don't understand how the, well, two guys.
Yeah.
Got the drop on like five people. Like, I think he just snatched a gun out of Travis' hand. Or well, he hit Travis and he snatched a gun out of his hand.
I will blame sort of Alicia, because Alicia did come in. Now, I do kind of call bullshit that Alicia recognized him or his voice or something.
Recognized his real voice. Opposed to his what is that thing called? This CV or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever the walkie-talkie he was talking on, it seemed like that would distort his voice a little.
Right.
But when she's like, Jack, I'm like, bitch, why are you talking? Like, so as soon as she said Jack, and then Daniel turned around and said something like, you brought them here. Like, Daniel said, like, he said something like along the lines of, you fucked up.
Oh, you did this.
Yeah, you did this. So when he was saying that, it was just those 2 seconds is all they needed. And I think that's when they took the gun from Daniel. And once you have the gun on one of your people, everyone, you know, lets loose.
If it'd be that easy. Because you have Daniel, he's supposed to be a trained person. I mean, he should have been looking. He should have saw this coming.
Yeah, but that's why I said, I think Alicia coming in and saying, Jack, it was those 2 seconds that all they needed.
Kind of disarmed them?
Yeah.
Kind of like, oh, you know them?
Right. So, okay. I think that's what happened. That's why I didn't mind it. Actually, I kind of thought that scene was badass. Like, because I was like, I don't know, to trust them or not trust them.
It was a little too goof troop for me.
Okay.
It was a little too goof troop because he just snapped, you know, you took the guns out of their hand, smacked Travis, took his gun from him. And next scene, because I could have swore like everybody had a gun. I could have swore Travis had one, Daniel had one.
I thought they only had like 2 guns, like a handgun and then a rifle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they had to have 3 because Chris had a gun.
Chris had a gun.
And Ophelia. Both of them had a gun.
Oh, really?
Right.
Okay.
Remember Chris kept saying, should I shoot them?
Okay. And then what was that, speaking of guns, what happened when Strand went and got his gun out? Did Daniel, like, take the bullets? Because he said something. He looked at his gun like, shit, it's useless. Like, Daniel disarmed the gun or did something to the gun?
I don't know. I don't think he was going to ever use it anyway.
Who, Strand?
Yeah.
No, but Daniel did something to it because he's like, damn it, Daniel. I don't know. He said something along those lines. But that was only a small dislike.
I mean, I think he was just going to get hell on anyway.
Okay.
It was his perfect opportunity.
Yeah.
He was like, man, they dead anyway. I'm out.
Right. All right. Well, that is it for all the likes and dislikes. Now we're going to get to any listener letters and Twitter conversations. We would love to hear from you guys. dead@theverdictsin.com. That is dead@theverdictsin.com. We record Monday night and the episode releases on Tuesday. So hit us up next week if you want your feedback on the podcast. We have an email today from Yolanda. She wrote, hey, Nicole and Gary, this might be the best episode of Fear so far.
It was.
Yes, it definitely was. I love Strand's backstory, and I thought he was gay from last season when the soldier asked who gave him the cufflinks, and he didn't answer.
That's who said it.
It was probably, okay, so it was Yolanda that brought up the cufflinks last season.
Yeah.
Okay. And he didn't answer.
Thank you, Yolanda.
Thank you. But I know that's how Abigail was going to tie in. Also, there should be more to come because most real estate folks don't carry machine guns. I also loved how Madison was messing with the pregnant girl. Yeah, we did too. The last thing you want while pregnant in the zombie apocalypse is for your child, your dead baby, to chew its way out of you. Yeah, that'd be pretty scary.
Yeah, that'd be sick. But I wonder whether the baby's strong enough.
It's a zombie baby. It's going to be strong.
Like, how many zombie babies do you know is a zombie baby?
The only zombie baby, I've seen like 2 episodes of Z Nation, and there was a zombie baby on that.
I think that's the last episode I watched.
I think that was the last episode I watched too. I was like, man, I thought Zombie Baby be cool, but it was just a little too much for me.
I think since we seen it, we caught bullshit. It was a wrap.
It was a wrap after that. All right. I Ain't Fearing Shit goes to Nick. He's becoming an adrenaline junkie. I love that he just went. No discussions about it. Most likely to die should be Travis, but it's going to be Ophelia. And most likely to become Shane is Chris. He's going to, that's what she gave a new category. He's going to shoot first and ask questions later next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Hearing him saying, like, should I shoot? Should I shoot? And then especially hearing the guy taunt him later, if you have to ask, you should have shoot. So, like, yeah, he's not taking any chances anymore, I can tell you that much.
Nope, not at all. I just hope he don't shoot the wrong person.
Oh, yeah. His dad or something. Why his dad? I don't know. He just messed up. All right, and then she wrote, I miss your instant cast.
You know what? Ever since we were watching Walking Dead and Fear, I know you're a very dark person.
Yeah, I got some dark theories here. All right, she wrote, I miss your instant cast, but can't wait to hear what you thought about the episode. Thank you, Yolanda.
Yeah, thank you, Yolanda.
We miss the instant cast as well, but at the same time, we are very much enjoying Game of Thrones. If you guys are not watching or you did not know we had a Game of Thrones podcast, please listen in. I love that show. We love it. And we do an instant cast for that.
It's great.
And this full recap, due to the fact that we do an instant cast for Game of Thrones, our full recap for Fear the Walking Dead comes out before the full recap for Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So it can even out. Yolanda, get on Game of Thrones if you are not watching. Best show ever. All right, just some conversations we had with people on Twitter. People were worried that Alicia gave up the names, and we wrote back, I don't think she gave up all their names. She looks surprised that they know, that they knew all those names.
Oh, you wrote back.
Okay, I wrote back, yeah.
I think they're correct.
You think so? I don't think so, because she looked like, I don't know how they know our names, Mom. Like, I don't know. Why would she go and tell them everything about all of them?
I mean, it was like pillow talk. Like he said, oh, this is where you talk to me at in your room?
Yeah.
So she was just comfortable with Jack. Got, you know, started telling him everything, telling him about, you know, her chilling days and everything. And, you know, people came out like, oh, hold on, I got to go. Strand's being an asshole again. You know, just saying names, and Jack could have been writing them down.
All right. Well, Cassachi on Twitter wrote, Alicia was surprised they knew all that. I'm pretty sure it was Charlie/Alex. And that was the people that they cut the cord from.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Alex was a little too strong for that. I think maybe if they ran to Alex, that's how she got her leg hurt. Because remember, her leg was cut for real.
Whose leg? Alex?
No, the pregnant girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because actually, when I first saw it, I was like, was that a cut or a bite? But it probably was just a cut.
Yeah. And he probably tried to rob Alex for a little inner tube she was in. Tried to rob the wrong person.
Yeah. All right, and that's it for today. We would love to hear from you guys, dead@theverdictsin.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter @theverdictsin or facebook.com/verdictsin, and we'll discuss those comments there. All right, and now for our award and prediction. Gary, why don't you start us off with I Ain't Fearing Shit?
You know, I had an I Ain't Fearing Shit in the beginning, and I had to change it. It was Chris at first, because Chris had the little mean look on his face the whole time.
Right.
But when he said, Dad, help me, you know, that changed.
Nothing's wrong with that.
You know, so he couldn't get the I Ain't Fearing Shit award. But I'm going to give it to Nick. Nick went on land. There's no telling how many walkers was going to be there. So that was a bold move. And then he went there and went straight to work, killed a walker. And it doesn't seem like he's running from him. He's not really that scared of him.
Mm-mm.
Because when he seen the walker, he kind of lured it over or walked slow over to the tent. I don't know. That was just a cool move. It was a cool scene.
No, it definitely was.
So I'm going to have to give Nick the I Ain't Fearing Shit award.
Okay. He's won several. I know he won at least one last season. And I'm trying to think if he's won any this season so far, but he's a high contender.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give it to, you know what's so funny is I was thinking about giving it to Chris as well. Because, like, he just seemed, I don't know, he reminded me kind of Carl. Like, when they had him tied up, and he was all looking mad. And, it reminded me of Carl when he was looking at Negan looking mad or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm probably going to give it to Luis. Only because, and it doesn't seem like Luis had to take the courage to be that way. It seemed like he's just that way already, like, fearless already. But still, like, he was calm, cool, and collective, excuse me. When he ran into Nick, he's like, dude, turn around. And he instantly just trusted him. Was like, oh, okay, you're a friend of Strand's. And then even when Nick's like, hey, there's people on our boat. He's like, which ones? Boom, boom. Like, he didn't ask no questions. He got on the boat. He's about to shoot up Daniel if he had to. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. He's just a badass, and I think he's going to be, like, a new favorite character. And I thought he wasn't fair and shit this week.
Okay.
All right, most likely to die.
I'm going to have to get a most likely to die to Chris.
Chris?
Yeah, because you can't just go around meme mugging people.
All right. You think that meme mug is going to get him killed?
Yeah, you know, it got him smacking around this episode.
Yeah, it did. It did.
Might get him killed the next episode.
All right. My most likely to die is going to be Ophelia. They brought up her gunshot wound again. That guy actually squeezed it. So it kind of shows us how early still it is because it hasn't healed. It's still bleeding and everything like that. And hopefully she's taking that medicine that Nick got. I don't know if Nick ever gave it to her or whatever, but my most likely die is Ophelia.
Well, do you think they're finished writing for the season? Like, they already are written and...
Yeah, there's only three episodes left.
Okay.
Yeah, because last season they did 6 episodes. I believe this season they're only doing 8 episodes. So there might be, like, I don't know. There's only a few episodes left, maybe 3 or 4. It's not a long season.
All right. Well, yeah, maybe they are setting up for her to die.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see. But this week, I think they really redeemed themselves. I thought it was, as soon as it started, I was like, wow, this is already really, really good, you know? So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a great episode.
And we'll just see what the rest of the week, rest of the season, excuse me, has to show us.
Yeah, I want
to
see some more backstories.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing more backstories as well.
Like, I wouldn't mind seeing Nick's backstory. Well, never mind.
We already know Nick.
Yeah, I don't want to see nobody in the crack house.
I don't know if anyone else's backstory is important.
Probably Daniel's.
Yeah, but he was just, I don't know, I was going to say he's just a school teacher. Like, nothing's wrong with that. But
no, not Travis, Daniel.
Oh, Daniel, duh, duh, duh. Oh, okay, yes, now Daniel's, that would be very interesting.
That'd be a cool backstory.
Yeah, because I feel we got enough of Alicia and Travis. Like, we saw their life before the apocalypse started. You know, we saw them teaching at school. We saw that life before everything hit the fan. So, yeah, right. Daniel.
Maddie.
Yeah, Maddie and Travis and Alicia. So, all right, well, that's everything, you guys. We do appreciate you listening, as always. Be sure to check out all of our other podcasts. As we mentioned, we're covering Game of Thrones currently, and we also cover Empire that comes on Wednesday nights. So hit us up on any of those podcasts. Watch the Throne at theverdictsin.com for Game of Thrones and Empire at theverdictsin.com for Empire. We would love to hear from you if you watch those shows. Until next week, I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Good night.